If you love the national parks as much as we do, then we have a book recommendation for you.
Moon USA National Parks Hiking is a brand new guidebook from Moon Travel Guides that covers the top 100 hikes across 40 U.S. national parks.
Whether you want to descend into the Grand Canyon, stroll the shoreline in Acadia, or cling to the cliff edges in Shenandoah, Moon USA National Parks Hiking gives you the inspiration to find the perfect hike for you and the practical planning tips to make it happen. You'll find everything from easy, family-friendly hikes to strenuous, multi-day treks, plus tips for wildlife watching, backpacking, finding solitude, and more.
This book is an essential resource for National Parks fans, as well as a fantastic holiday gift for any outdoorsy people on your list.
You can find Moon USA National Parks Hiking wherever books are sold, or click the link in our show notes. And if you don't already have a copy on your shelf, be sure to also check out the original award-winning best-selling guide that started it all, Moon USA National Parks.
Find your trail and prepare for an unforgettable journey in America's top national parks with Moon Travel Guides. Moon, let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide.
So let's talk about lost keys.
The bane. I think anything, yeah. Any lost item is truly just St. Anthony gotta be doing the work.
Well, true. And also, like,
in your memory.
I think it's a matter of making sure you know where your small items are.
Right.
Because,
like your dignity.
Right. Yeah. Or your integrity.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Things like that. Mm-hmm. Like the things that can fit in your pockets. Mm-hmm. Right. That to me is the, as you said, the bane of my existence in camping. When camping, it's like the tiny little important things like keys.
Right.
A phone charger.
Wallet.
A headlamp. There's so many tiny little things that could get lost, or you don't know where it is, and then you waste so much time because you're like, I'm trying to find this one tiny little thing. I mean, when we were in Death Valley, which is one of the episodes we're talking about today, I bought a fanny pack at the visitor center because I was like, no, I just immediately knew what this was going to be about, and I was like, not about it. I was like, I will not be the reason why we're delayed because I can't find a thing.
Right.
Like, all of my incredibly important things are right here. And then what I would do is when we would get to the trailhead, I would just put the fanny pack in my hiking bag, and then I pull the fanny pack out of my hiking bag, and I always have it on me at all times.
Yeah. You were a fashion fanny girl.
But true. We had a lost keys situation.
We did. Have you lost keys before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Well, we know the famous story.
Which one?
The one in Smoky Mountains. Your 1990s jumpsuit. Your windbreaker jumpsuit.
I wish I could find that jumpsuit. I would wear it today.
Oh, you would.
Oh, my God. I would rock it out. I rocked it out as a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm.
You can then go to the casino and sit and do the slots with the other.
That's right. With the best of them. Mm-hmm. No, I loved that little jumpsuit, and it was in my signature color, emerald green. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's my signature color.
As you are sitting on my emerald green couch. Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm. So we had a problem with lost keys.
Yeah. The situation was that we were given a spare key to the car.
To Becky's car. Our friend Becky's car.
And that key disappeared. And
No. That key did not disappear. The spare key that was given to you and I stayed very safe inside of fanny pack. Thank you very much. But the other key that Becky had, the main key,
disappeared.
Correct.
And it was like, at least we have the spare key, thank God, because we tore through everything to try to find this key.
It didn't help that, like, it had been explained to Becky that the car...
We were misinformed.
Would not lock if a key were inside of it. That turned out not to be true.
False.
Absolute falsity. Mm-hmm. Because we tore apart the camper looking for the key.
We tore apart our tent.
We tore apart all of our storage bins, everything, no key in sight. But we could still use the car because...
We had a spare.
That was in my fanny pack. That's right. Fanny pack to the rescue.
The hero of the entire trip.
That's right. Fanny pack to the rescue. Mm-hmm. And so we went for days and days with a lost key, not knowing where it was, thinking it was nearby, but not knowing exactly where it was.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting and hiking in the land, also known as Death Valley National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Kauai Sioux and Western Shoshone people. So in our last episode, we talked all about small trails within Death Valley National Park. And actually, there are some other small trails that we'll encounter both in this episode and the next. This episode is really a tag on to the bigger hike that we did. And in our subsequent episode on Mosaic Canyon, there is actually a small event or like trail-like component that could be tacked on. But this morning, this was our second morning?
Yeah, this was our second morning here at Death Valley National Park.
We had done a lot just a day.
Well, it was our second full day.
Right.
Like, so we had arrived, we woke up the next day and did Golden Canyon and
Zabriskie Point
and some other small
trails. Yeah.
And then this was our second full day.
Mm-hmm. Which was a full day because it included a very early morning wake up. Again, we were trying to beat the heat here and get most of our hiking in way before the midpoint of the day. So we are up at 5 a.m. We do our overnight oats and coffee. We depart at our usual time, or a very typical time for this trip, at 5:30 a.m. from the Furnace Creek, campground in Death Valley National Park.
This week in Death Valley, we were there in mid-April, and it was hot.
Yeah.
It was 103 degrees. It did cool down at night.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's the desert, and the desert always does cool down at night, but we wanted to make sure to always do our hiking extremely early so that we could beat the heat. And also, you cannot beat early morning light. You cannot beat it. And this entire trail today is a perfect example of that.
Yeah. This would have been a very exposed trail to do in the high midday sun. It was good that we went early to do it, only in that it was very far away from where we were. Our previous hikes within the park, including Badwater Basin, Zabriskie Point and Golden Canyon, Devil's Golf Course, and Artist Palette and Artist Drive, were all down Badwater Road, which if you were to turn out of Furnace Creek Campground, you would head to the right and head that way. We actually had to make quite a drive. I think it was
about an hour one direction.
So we made a left out of the campground and headed toward... And we headed towards Stovepipe Wells, which is where there was swimming and a lodge for showers and things like that. We took advantage of kind of every day that we were there and continued to head out towards the hike we were going to do, which is Yuba Hebe Crater.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We basically had to go to the north end of Death Valley National Park.
We were close to Nevada.
Yes, correct. You were driving this morning, and in order to get there, yes, we took a left out of Furnace Creek onto 190, which is the main road that runs through Death Valley National Park, and then we turn off the main road onto Scotty's Castle Road. Mm-hmm. Now, why is this road named this? This road is named after a structure, a human-made structure that is in Death Valley National Park that does look like a castle that once upon a time people could visit and go inside of. Now, they're trying to like renovate it a little bit in order to like be able to bring visitors back into it.
Well, the hurricane also caused washout to the road, so that was also part of the issue why it's currently closed too.
Right. Because people cannot go there.
Yeah.
We generally, and we talked about this while we were there, we're less interested in going out that far to just see a human-made castle in the middle of Death Valley. I'm sure if people are interested in it, great. We were more interested in hiking the craters and the canyons and things like that.
There was also talk of going to the racetrack area of
Death Valley, but that was way far out. And Racetrack is an area where it looks as though the rocks have moved, like that they're on a path that they've actually moved overnight or over time. But that would have involved a lot more travel time and a lot more off-roading. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of our... This was our kind of furthest venture within the park from the campsite.
Absolutely. Yeah. Until like we eventually left the park.
Right.
And headed to Pinnacles, which is where we headed next.
Yeah.
This road was mostly flat driving out there. Mm-hmm. It was mostly flat and mostly a straight shot until we got closer to the crater. And mm-hmm. that's when it got a little curvier and there were some more hills involved. And you did those expertly. When we were done, I ended up driving back.
When we arrive at the parking lot, after kind of winding around, we ended up... only seeing one other person in the lot. He is a photographer. You can tell by the gear that he's got with him. It's very clear why you would come to Huba Hiba Crater, not only to hike it, but it is a very different landscape from everything that we had experienced in the two prior days that we had been within the Death Valley kind of environment. This felt like automatically we had stepped onto... like another one of the planet. Hawaiian Islands. It felt so very different. It is a stunning view from the parking lot.
Right here, it is easy to think that Huba Hiba Crater is just one crater that you go out to see, but really it's a crater system that is, and this large crater that they refer to as Huba Hiba Crater is really just the largest of the crater system in this area. And if you get on foot, then you can see all of the craters that are part of this crater system, which is what we intended to do.
But again, if all you can do is drive here and get out and look, it's not a bad
wonderful.
View.
It's not a bad view. And it's worth the drive. Mm-mm. So we gear up and we start to head out onto the trail. From the parking lot, we head immediately to the right. And there is a walking path on the outer ridge of this large, unbelievable crater. And so we start to walk along it. At this moment, we're all kind of in different spots on the trail with some space between us. Let's describe the landscape a little bit.
So there are no trees. There is some shrubby vegetation, depending on where we were at. Sometimes that was much lower to the ground and small, like one might describe as like an alpine version of something, even though we were not nowhere near the alpine region of anything. But we did encounter some larger shrubs eventually along the crater. We are also surrounded by mounds created by a mix of volcanic rock, sand, and other rocks. There are some mountains in the distance, which are sprawling, and they serve as this backdrop to the dunes and mounds. It made this combination of black and brown and gold and orange that all swirled together. So the landscape was incredibly colorful, highlighted by this very early morning golden hour light that we had. And the craters around the sunken areas that flattened out were surrounded by rivulets, which were basically carved through water flow. So there's a lot of texture in the environment too, along with color. It's a feast for the eyes, that's for sure.
For sure. Soon we get to the top of the section to the right. We see a falling off ledges sign. And
this is a great sign. Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, be careful to not fall off ledges.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah.
But the figure and how they had illustrated, like the pictogram was great.
Dramatic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was like, don't molest the snakes. And it was my favorite sign.
That's true.
Don't molest the snakes.
Guadalupe Mountains National Park. Mm-hmm. That one.
From McKittrick Canyon.
I still think that could be like best piece of signage I've ever seen. We're giving that a superlative.
Superlative in the middle of the
falling
season.
Falling signs or falling off ledges sign, that's a close second.
I mean, but they're necessary, especially when you think about all of the deaths that happen in national parks because people aren't paying attention and fall off ledges.
Yep.
So they're signs for a reason, just like in Yellowstone. Don't walk on the geothermal areas and people are still doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't touch the wildlife.
Yeah.
Don't feed them either. Mm-hmm. Now we are entering the section that is kind of like weaving through a bunch of craters. We have come to the area of a bunch of other smaller craters. It was very quick to get there. And so we decide we're going to head to the right because we're now looking at crater number two. Mm-hmm. Like we've gotten up to this ledge. We see the falling, off ledges sign, and we are already looking at smaller crater number two. So we decide we're going to walk around this crater. Again, Huba Hiba Scooby Crater is the name for this area, but also kind of like the name for that large crater of this system. We now get to explore some of those smaller craters. So we walk along the edge of crater number two. Now we're a little higher up, so the major like steep incline is behind us. We don't have to worry about that. But we continue to walk until we get to a junction. At this junction, we could go any direction, but what do we decide to do?
We decided to go to the right. We continued our rightward journey because this is going to just essentially continue to loop us around the outer edges of the crater system. It's immediately a bit of decline here, and we pass a smaller crater, which is number three, and then an even smaller crater, which is number four. So we have seen a lot of these little smaller craters along with the large crater that we first drove in on and kind of parked along. It, you know, goes without saying too, there are ways that you could just do the bigger loop around the big crater, but we decided to kind of do these offshoot little small trails around the smaller craters too.
Exactly. Yeah. We make our way up to onto another ridge, and soon we are now looking at smaller crater number five. This is now a situation where the trail is very loose. It's just sort of like a suggested walking area as to where to go. So we could go any direction, and we take a look around and we decide, okay, I think what we actually want to do is go down inside of the smaller crater and walk around inside there. So we veer to the left and make our way down into smaller crater number five.
And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
All right, Mike, it's time for a new game.
Okay.
We're playing Biopic.
Okay, great.
This game, like similarly to commission an album.
Okay.
I'm going to give you either an actor or a person who has a famous life.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me either who that actor should play or who should play that person with a famous life, which actor should do it.
Got it.
So I think actually I'm going to give you an actor and then I want you to pick who they should play.
Okay.
So the actor that I'm going to give you is Paul Mescal.
Paul Mescal. Who could Paul Mescal play?
Paul Mescal is Irish.
I know who he is. But he also plays a variety of
roles.
Mm-hmm. And he also often plays queer roles.
He does.
Sorry, I got really high there. Queer roles.
Queer roles. Also, I have an idea queer immediately, roles but I'm curious what your
would be
idea.
Our roles that we sell in the grocery store.
Queer roles.
Queer roles. Queer roles. Maybe I'm thinking about this because I'm going to give you a person from history and I want to see who you're going to intend for them to play. But I just feel like he has a very like Roman-esque face.
Yeah,
and
I mean, like, he was in the Gladiator sequel.
And so that's why I'm like, I think he could play Julius Caesar. I feel like that's who I want him to play. Who do you think?
Oscar Wilde.
Oh.
I think he could do it.
That party girl.
That party girl, indeed. I mean, we know Oscar Wilde was the wild girl.
Uh-huh.
No, I think he could do it.
Oh, actually, I'm going to rescind what I just said. Mm-hmm. And only because we just talked about this person when we were away and also talk about a party girl. Let him play Caravaggio.
Caravaggio,
who's a Baroque painter, who's the who is like a messy girl. I mean, very talented, but we like messy. That.
Well, I think Paul Mescal has a gift at like. He can give you something really complicated and still make it really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could do mm-hmm. that. So, yeah. I would like to see him play something that is a little more fun. I feel like because, you know, that first thing he did was so sad. He just plays sad and dreary all the time. And right. I'm like, but he can also be, like, fun mm-hmm. and silly.
Mm-hmm. What okay, was that? Great. Normal People?
Normal People, yeah.
Sad. Okay, so I'm giving you a historical figure.
I'm ready.
It's Ben Franklin.
Okay, Ben Franklin.
I hit your butt.
Who is going to play Ben Franklin? I'm looking behind me at the pen and ink drawing of Ben Franklin that you did for me.
Mm-hmm.
Who is going to play Ben Franklin? All right, this is what I'm going with. And I know that this might feel like a bit of a cop-out of an answer, but because...
It's Nicolas Cage.
He already played John Adams, but I'm Paul Giamatti. Just feel like Paul Giamatti would nail Ben Franklin. Mm. That's sort of my feeling on that. Do you have a thought?
I do.
Who's your thought?
It's Victor Garber.
Victor Garber. Interesting. See, I think Victor Garber would be more of a George Washington because Ben Franklin is, to me, is so pedestrian and George Washington is so like high status. And I just feel like Victor Garber already feels like elite.
Oh.
And Paul Giamatti feels very like
low class.
He feels very working class. You know what I mean? And I mean, he was an inventor. So he made people, he was like, I just want to, you know, make life a little easier. And like, he was very practical. And so I just feel like he has always struck me as more working class. Mm. Paul Giamatti. That's kind of where I land on that.
The working class man, the working man's Ben Franklin.
There you go.
There he is. And that's biopic.
Into the crater. Oof, that was hard.
It's true.
This was a little off trail-y in some ways. Like Dusty said, the trail became, it was very lightly there along the edge of the crater, but it was also very clear that it was going to circle around the entire rim and that if we cut through the crater, we would be able to link back up with it fairly easy. So we had sight of where we were going. This was also a crater that was on the smaller side of things. So, well, yes, while we had to descend down into it, it wasn't incredibly steep. Like, it wasn't a nerve-wracking experience to go down.
When we get down into the crater, immediately we see lots of different kinds of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mix of like black and brown rocks. The black rock is mostly volcanic because this is a crater, so we do have volcanic activity here. Becky finds this great piece of volcanic rock that we all just sort of investigate for a minute, and it's really cool. And in general, like the bottom of the crater, while there are a ton of rocks, it's a mix of like brown and gold and orange swirls of like rocks and sand.
And we also have a lot more shrubs here, larger, I'll say medium-sized shrubbery. Some of it is green. Some of it looks very ghostly. There's also a clear shift of color in the ground eventually as we're walking.
Like it's shift like of color.
It feels like it's a little darker towards the edges and it's a little bit more brown, like a black almost, and then it's a little browner in the center. Walking across the crater, it doesn't take a long time until we're on the other side. There is like this kind of demarcated line that's like a light tan that separates the black ground and the brown ground. It's a fascinating shift between the actual crater itself and what's going on there.
As we're walking through, we actually discover a new game, which is when we find pieces of dried root vegetation, what shape does it take or what does it look like?
Well, it's like, what do the clouds look like?
It was that kind of game, but instead it was with like dried root vegetation. And so one we found looked like some crow's feet, and it really did look like crow's feet.
Yeah.
And then Mike found one that looked kind of like his own hand mm-hmm. because it was in the shape of a witch's hand.
That's right.
And you're a witch.
That's
so
true.
You have that like twisted witchy hand.
Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted. You
exactly.
already do.
I do.
That's mm-hmm. right. So we did find that, and it was fun, and we took some photos of those.
After crossing the crater, we climb our way out and head to the next saddle, which is on the other side of the crater. And this takes us to the sign that points to Little Hebe. Which is kind of the smaller, one of the more pronounced craters in the area, but it's not the Big Hebe.
Correct. Yeah. There's Yuba Hebe and yeah. there's Little Hebe. Mm-hmm. And Little Hebe is one of the smaller craters of this crater system. We take the path and immediately see Little Hebe, who mm-hmm. is, we're calling smaller crater number 6. Mm-hmm. We head to the right to go around this crater, and it is immediately, like, we notice, like, this is a little bit different than the other craters around because it is slightly bigger than them, but also the color inside of it is really specific. Mm-hmm. So we walk all the way around Little Hebe. It leads us to this, like, incredible sweeping view around this area of the crater. It gives us this view of these, like, dark brown and tanned colored runoffs that are just, like, being perfectly caught by the morning light.
Yeah. You wouldn't, if you weren't here at dawn or dusk, you would have a hard time seeing them. They would have kind of disappeared a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
We're standing there and we're like taking a look and like, you know, the thing is one could trip and just sort of like find their way inside of any of these craters sure. at any time. I mean, it's not so steep that like you wouldn't be able to like catch yourself or stand up. But in some spots,
not here in these smaller craters,
but in the big one.
The big one,
you're going down.
Yeah.
You're going down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the smaller ones, you're not going far.
And it's a slope.
It's a slope.
The other ones are a little sheerer. Ed Sheerer.
Yeah, that's that.
When we loop around Little Hebe, our shadows are within the crater, and we get a snap a photo of all four of our shadows falling into the crater because our shadows are long at this point because the sun is very low in the sky. And we continue over to the next saddle, and it brings us to the rim of the other side of the large crater where we started. From here, we can see both the large crater and Little Hebe together.
And this is a great view of like finally seeing both of them together. It does take going all the way to the back in order to get that view.
Yeah.
Of both Little Hebe and Yuba Hebe at the same time. And with that, let's take our next break.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Katie Keurig.
Katie Keurig.
I'm sure she exists.
Yeah.
But like, good God, what a great name.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Keurig.
She's an on-demand queen.
She is. She'll give you a cup of coffee. Or I mean, she maybe not a cup of coffee, yeah. but she'll give you something right then whenever you want it.
That's right. And you get to choose small, medium, or large.
That's right.
Depending
That's
on
right.
mm-hmm, how you're feeling that day. How
I
much of a zing do you want from Katie Keurig?
Maybe she's sponsored by Keurig.
I mean, yeah, she's their on-retainer drag queen.
I like that. So she's like what Flo from Progressive, but instead it's like Katie Keurig of Keurig, right? Mm-hmm. She is their on-demand drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. She probably stars in their commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's pressing the buttons, it's like her extremely long fingernail, like just yeah. in the shot while mm-hmm. she's hitting the button mm-hmm. to make her coffee. I mean, I love it. I'm mm-hmm. into it.
Mm-hmm. I already know the song that she's going to lip sync to.
Which is?
It's time for the percolator. It's time for the percolator.
I like that.
How
could it not be mm-hmm. that? So if you got to see Katie Keurig live, what would be her what would her show be like?
I feel like her show, because of that song choice, would be a little bit of like EDM party girl. There'd be a lot of lights. There'd be strobing happening. There would be like,
like, this is your mind on caffeine.
I see. I think it would be that.
I'm sorry. You're going to need to repeat that. I don't think we got it. Thank you. I like it. I'm into mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. So I think she's a little bit of a rave queen. And obviously she's giving out shots of coffee or K-cups, I guess. I mean, it's Katie Keurig and K-cup. It's a double act.
K-cup is her opener.
Uh-huh.
And K-cup is like her little sidekick.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like she definitely gives out K-cups. And maybe let's go sustainable. Maybe her drag is made out of
old K-cups.
Recycled K-cups.
Uh-huh.
I'm into that. Because mm-hmm. that was the whole thing about like, are K-cups recyclable? Maybe they can be in this
For
way.
Fashion.
For fashion mm-hmm. purposes. Why mm-hmm. not? Little domes. Just turned into a dress.
Yep, I like it. I think that they'd be a great double act. I do feel like they're going to be like they're hype ladies.
I also think that K-Cup is in the House of Cup with Dixie Cup.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like they're hype ladies.
And Diva Cup.
Mm-hmm. And Diva Cup.
The
great.
House of Cup.
The House of Cup.
C-U-P-P-E. Mm-hmm. House of Cup.
So yeah. I think we got a double act that we didn't know we had.
And look at that.
So, Thaddeus and Gentlethems, please welcome to the stage K-Cup and Katie Keurig.
Well, now we are back at the big crater, Yubahibi Crater.
Yeah.
And it is time. If you were standing at the parking lot, you were pointing to where we were standing now.
We were like straight across.
We were straight across, kind of back to the right.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we were. So we now have to go all the way around.
Maybe a little less than 3/4 of the way around the crater.
Correct. Bringing us back to the car. So far, I would say we maybe have gone 1.5 miles. Maybe this was not This was not an extended lengthy type of thing.
But incredible experience.
Oh, like, without a doubt.
What a weird thing to do here. This added to my list of why Death Valley is high on the list.
Oh, so high on the list.
So weird and so strange.
Absolutely.
And like, who would have thought it was there? We make it to another sign that warns against falling. And this one is one to definitely pay attention to, because while you're on the ledge here, or the rim of the crater, and it's fairly wide, and you have breathing room for sure, if you get too close to the edge and you're not paying attention, this is where the drop is very steep and less of a gradual slope. It's like a very high grade, essentially.
Yeah.
And you would most likely die or be very badly injured.
The slope is serious.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a matter of like, I mean, and I would say like the area where we were walking, like where the walking trail sort of like is indicated, lots of feet away from the actual rim.
Yeah.
And so it's not like we're going to trip and suddenly fall inside.
Yeah.
The way that some people do the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
But some very steep drops.
Yeah. But on those steep drops, we are seeing these incredible rivulets that are running down the crater walls. The colors are very different here. There's a lot of striation through the rock of the crater. And the trail itself, as we're walking around and looking at it from across the crater, almost looks like a rivulet itself. This is a wide area. Those other craters, you could very clearly see, oh, well, that wouldn't take me long to get across or around. This is a much more extensive crater to circle.
What's great about doing this and about walking around the large crater, the Yubahibi crater in particular, is because at every 10 feet, you're seeing the crater from a different angle.
Yeah, and the sun is changing too.
The sun is changing and you're getting different things that are highlighted and a gorgeous piece of natural space. You get to take in lots of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you move, you get to see something new.
The one thing that I think was a point of interest, at least for me, and had been talked about, was there is a trail that goes into the crater. You can see it from the vantage point that we came upon the trail in this back kind of right corner of the crater. It descends from near the parking lot down, but it's a one-way trail. So in order to go back up, you go and back up the same way that you came down. So it's not like we could go down this one side through the middle of the crater and then back out the other side. You had to go down and loop back. I forget how many feet, it's like hundreds of feet of descent.
Steep.
And
so steep.
It was also, the more we walked around, we're like, oh, well, this is just going to be fully in the sun by the time we get back.
Yeah.
And we were thinking about it, but I think ultimately we're like, we'll see how we feel when we get to the other side of that.
So we're walking around, and this was really fun because you and I finally got some nice trail time here.
It's true.
That's because you often hike so far ahead leave me abandoned.
Yep, there it is.
So, so it was nice for you to, you know,
To deign
to hike back with
because
me.
Because in
this
place
point,
where so many dream to work here, you only deign to
work here. That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
No, but that was fun. We had a good little kiki on the trail.
We did.
In this particular
And we saw
day.
A lot of great vegetation, including cheese bush and creosote and desert holly.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And all of these bushes could be mistaken for one another.
Absolutely.
Just letting y'all know. Like a cheese bush and a creosote and a desert holly.
They
very
all sort
similar.
Of look the same.
And if
like, scraggly.
We are, of course, curious about everything, but our friend Cynthia, who was with us on this hike, is incredibly curious about vegetation and flowers and trees and bushes and all kinds of vegetation. So she's like looking it up and tracking it right and left. And she was the one telling us what they were. And we were like, oh, okay, great. So for those of you who nerd out about that, who listen, who've said like, can you please mention more shrubs and more flowers? There you go. Mm-hmm. Creosotes, cheesebush, desert holly.
And even some evening primrose.
That's true.
That's right.
Evening primrose.
And some salt bushes.
That's true.
We did laugh about all of the shrubs having like food names.
They do. They do sound like food.
Someone was hungry when they were naming them.
It's true.
As we continue to the other side of the Yubahibi crater, we see off to the right a stunning view of these mounds and these intricate rivulets that we saw when we had first arrived in the late morning light. And quickly we realize that we were so grateful. Like I said earlier, if we had gone any later, we would have missed all of the landscape texture because it would have just been blown out by the overhead sun.
And now we get to see all the details of it because of the morning light and the angle of the morning light.
So as we walk around toward the parking lot, things do end up getting a little flatter. There was a little bit of like ascent descent as we were going around the crater. Like from where we had come to the crater, we had to kind of go down a little bit and then back up, and then we sort of flattened out as we came along the roadway. And there was some conversation on, are we going to go down into the crater? And I think all four of us were like, no, it's okay.
No, we're not going to do that.
Because we also had other plans for the rest of this day, and we wanted to make sure that we were avoiding the heat.
That's right. And so we loop all the way back around to the car where we had parked, get our gear off, and we get in the car. I get in the back seat. I look to my right, and right there, like what somebody had.
So the concept. Console in the middle of the seat.
Console that folds down with a little cup holder.
I had books that I had tucked there.
You did.
Like underneath that were in my bag that I was like, these don't need to be in the tent.
Yeah. And
you shifted the books.
What happened was
you lifted the console?
I lifted the console and there was that main key that had been lost.
That couldn't be locked in the car, apparently.
And I was like, Becky. Do you see what's in my hand? And she screamed. And it was like, it was literally just sitting right here the entire time.
All right, let's put the Yubahibi crater system on the Karen Stone scale.
Hiking around all the craters and then around Yubahibi, I would say 3.
Yeah, I'm going to say 4.
Okay.
Just because there is a little bit, that first initial...
That is like a significant incline.
Is a significant incline. And then after that, it just depends on what you end up doing. Like really, you could just go around the main crater. You know, there's a lot of choice here, which I liked.
Yeah, I did too. There's not a ton of stuff to get in your way as far as like on the ground.
No.
It's pretty flat.
It's not like you're on scree at all. It's pretty solid ground because of the volcanic rock. It was definitely not a 5, but I just felt like there was a little bit more effort involved, especially for as early in the morning as we were doing it. So,
So there we go.
Yeah.
7 out of 20 Karen Stones.
And now let's end this episode with some Jeopardy style trivia.
Why don't you get us started, Mike?
Great. So my Jeopardy is titled Yubahibi. Every clue will be about two people from movies, and you will need to name that couple or that group of people.
Great.
And you'll understand the format as you hear it.
I'm ready.
Great. For 100, you be waiting in a tower with no one to talk to or converse with except your mother, who is secretly a witch who locked you away. He be a dashing prince who asks you to come up and visit very often, but only if you're able to give him something to climb up.
Who is Rapunzel and Rapunzel's prince?
Exactly.
Or Prince Charming?
Sure. I think it's Rapunzel's prince. Yeah. Or Flynn Rider. Sure. Great. For 200. You be an orphan who was adopted by a disgraced mayor who has a dark past, and he be one of the main drivers of the resistance who is later saved by your adoptive father in France.
Oh, who is Marius and Cosette?
That's right.
Okay.
For 300.
And I'm Cosette.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You be a cowboy who is trying to make ends meet and marry a pretty lady, and he be another cowboy who you end up having a secret affair with, causing your relationships with your wives to eventually dissolve over the subsequent decades.
Who are Brokeback and Mountain?
That's right, or Jack and Ennis.
Oh yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. I don't know their names.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you do.
Mm-hmm. That movie is not about knowing their names.
fill in what it's about for us.
It's about that mountain.
And how broke it is.
How broke that back is.
Mm-hmm. All right, for 400. You be the daughter of the woman he murdered, whose affair with his father ruined their parents' marriage. He be the psychopathic teenager whom, with his friend, ended up murdering a lot of your classmates while wearing a Halloween costume. Costume.
Who is Tate and the younger Farmiga sister in American Horror Story season one?
No.
It's similar, though.
It is, minus the whole, like, affair and the murder. This was a film that was that launched a series, which is still going right now.
I don't know.
And it starred someone from Party of Five.
Is it Jennifer Love Hewitt?
It's not.
Shalacy Chabert.
No.
Nev Campbell?
It's Nev Campbell. It's Scream.
Is it Scream?
Who is Sidney Prescott and Billy Loomis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
From the Scream franchise.
Great.
And last but not least, you be the ruler of a land that is rapidly decaying and can only be saved if you're given a name. He be the hero fighting the nothing from devouring your world, who loses his horse along the way but gains a giant flying dog friend instead.
What's my name? Mm-hmm. Say my name, Bastion. Mm-hmm. Who is Bastion and the princess? And I don't remember her name.
Well, it's not actually Bastion, though.
Okay, it's whoever that little
Atreyu.
Kid is. It's Atreyu.
And the childlike empress.
Yeah, but she said Bastion.
Right, because she's talking to him in the story.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's trying to get him to, like, give her a name in the outer world.
I see.
Yeah. So that's you be he be.
There you go. I like that. Okay, great. It's time for my category.
Great.
So since we discovered a new game, which is like vegetation roots that mm-hmm. appear as other things,
uh-huh.
we found one that appeared like a witch's hand. And so I was inspired by witches in film.
Great.
So I actually don't have 5. I have 7.
I have 20.
So you have to name the film that features witches as characters.
Okay.
Based on the quote from the film.
Okay.
Okay, great. So, for 100. Therefore, it stands to reason, does it not, sisters dear, that we must find the book, brew the potion, and suck the lives out of the children of Salem before sunrise. Otherwise, it's curtains. We evaporate. We cease to exist. Dost thou comprehend?
Mm-hmm. What is the Witches of Eastwick? No. What is Hocus Pocus?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Hocus Pocus. Mm-hmm. Okay, for 200. What's wrong with your scars, Sarah? Then why are you still bleeding?
What is
run? Run to your room like the coward you are. She's so pathetic.
Pathetic. Mm-hmm. What is The Craft?
That is correct. The Craft. Okay. For 300. I was expecting a very important spell in the mail from my teacher, Professor Emilius Brown, and it hasn't come. I must go to London immediately and see Professor Brown. With his help, we may be able to bring this war to a successful end. That's why I need the knob. What is your decision?
I don't think you have Angela Lansbury.
No, I was just giving you general British. That's not Angela Lansbury.
What is one of my favorite films of all time? Bedknobs
Mine
and Broomsticks.
Too. That is mm-hmm. correct. Bedknobs and Broomsticks, correct. Okay. And for 400, witch? Yeah. Evil? No. I mean, you get your psychos now and then. You know, animal slaughter, ritual, human disembowelment. But that's not really her. You see, it's a pagan label, but Sally, she's definitely not into that stuff.
What is Practical Magic?
That is correct.
Okay.
Good job.
A film I've never seen, but I had to really reach
for
that.
You know what's funny is I've never seen it.
Okay,
either.
Great.
We need to watch it together it. This mm-hmm.
the spooky season.
This spooky season, which at this time has not happened, but at the time this is released has
we'll
already
have passed.
Happened. So maybe we've already seen it by
it's
now.
It's true. Ooh. Yep.
For 500. Gigi, I've decided not to leave this town. Maybe I can stay and find some other nice people who will like me and accept me for who I am.
What's The Worst Little Witch?
Okay, so the movie that you're thinking about, that you're guessing, is The Worst Witch.
The Worst Witch.
But I think calling it The Worst Little Witch, but no, I'm sorry, L-I-L, The Worst Little Witch is funnier. No, we were going for What is Kiki's Delivery Service?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. For 500. I'm sorry, for 600.
That's where we get the term kiki from.
When you dance the dance of another, you make yourself the image of its creator. You empty yourself so that her work can live within you. Do you understand? You're in a company now. You have to find your right place. You have to decide, what is it that you want to be in this company? Is it the head, the spine, the heart?
What is Suspiria?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Suspiria. That is specifically from the remake.
The remake, yeah.
The 2018 version of Suspiria.
Also great.
Which we would argue maybe the superior version
of Suspiria. Oh, I don't know about that.
There's, I think so.
There's something
about
the original
is super creepy.
Sure is.
And finally, for 700. It's not the same on film, is it? I mean, you know it's real, but it's like looking through the lens gives you some sort of protection from what's on the other side. This film is from 1999. And that quote does give you like a hint at what the film is.
What is The Ring?
Great guess. It is definitely in that era of scary movie. What is The Blair Witch Project?
Oh, okay. There we
are. Another film I've never seen.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was more suspenseful seeing it in the theaters.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.